Hallelujah. Have you ever had a dream, huh? I tell my sister sometimes, I wake up in the morning and I dream almost every night. You know, it's pretty weird. But I dream almost every night, and they're not deep dreams. They probably don't have much meaning. One night I had a dream that I went to Winn-Dixie, and I went in there to the bakery, and I bought some cookies. I checked out, got in my car, drove home, and then I woke up. Those are the kind of dreams to have at nighttime, right? So I think it's safe to say, you know, these dreams could mean something, but, you know, by and large, God doesn't really use my sleep time to speak to me. You know? I dream about silly stuff, and I'll tell my sister, I said, I had a dream, and she'll say, shut up. Before I even say it, she'll be like, don't even tell me about it. She's like, I have to go to school today, I have to take notes, I have to be intellectual, I can't have you taking away my IQ points, okay? But I do believe that God can speak to us through dreams. I believe that God can speak to us as we sleep or whatnot. And I don't ignore that fact. But there are some dreams and there are some visions, some aspirations that keep me up, right? They keep me from sleeping. There are some dreams and some aspirations where I just cannot go to sleep on. There are some ideas and some thought patterns and some goals and visions that I have for my life that keeps me up at night, that keeps me waking up in the morning, that keeps me doing what it is that I do. There are some dreams that I have that I have to work towards. And they don't come to me in my sleep. I have what I believe are God-given daydreams, you know? Yeah. Coming up, my teachers hated me because I never paid attention, and they would tell my mom, he's just a daydreamer. I don't know where he is, but he's not listening. So I believe that I have God-given daydreams. That's what I told my mom. I said, it's not my fault, you know? These are God-given daydreams. Don't let the teacher talk down on me, you know? These are God-given daydreams. They keep me doing what it is that I do. I'm taking the dreams and the visions for my life, and I'm working towards them. So the question I'll pose to you is, what is your dream? What is the vision that keeps you up? What gets your wheel spinning and calls you to be restless or discontent or calls you to push harder towards something? What is your dream? Whether you realize it or not, God created you on purpose, for a purpose. He has a plan for you before you were even born, before you were even thought of. God had a purpose for you. Understand that your dream and your aspirations are designed to intimidate your reality. Your visions and your goals are designed to intimidate your reality. Understand that God would have you walk by faith and not by sight. Your vision, your dreams will pull you from your reality into your destiny. The dreams that God gives you, the hope and the aspirations and the vision that he's given you for your life will take you from your reality into your destiny. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Understand that before you were born, even before your mother and your father met, understand that God knew who you were. And he already had a destiny in place for you. That before you were born, even before your mother and your father met, God knew who you were and had a destiny in place for you. Understand that you are not a mistake and you are not an accident. Understand that God purposely created you to fulfill something in your life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So here's the point where we can stop saying that I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough. Here's where we can stop saying that I'm not pretty enough or I'm not talented enough, but God has created you with good works in mind. On the other side, here's where you can get up and you can stop sitting around and waiting for someone to give you a handout of some opportunity. Here's the point where you can stop being so unpassionate and nonchalant about your life. And stop looking at your circumstances and stop looking at all of your misfortunes. But here's the point where he can stand up and begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God and realize that he has added everything unto you that you need to reach the destiny that you are to reach. He will direct your path and all things will be added unto you. And God will set everything in place for you to reach the destiny that he has predestined for you. So if you look back at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we were created for good works, right? God predestined us for good works, that we may walk in them, right? He's predestined us for good works that we may walk in them. Am I good to go? And some of us may look around and say, you know, I'm walking in something, but it doesn't really look like good works. It doesn't really smell like good works. You may say, I'm walking in something in my life, but it doesn't look like good works. But that is okay. Because God says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So understand that you may not be where you want to be right now. You may not be doing what it is that you want to be doing right now. You may know deep down inside your knower that there is something greater inside of you that you have not yet tapped into. That there is something inside of you that you have not yet been able to express. But I can testify and tell you to be faithful where you are, to serve where you are, to do what it is that you are called to do where you are. No matter where you find yourself at in life, go ahead and be faithful there. Amen? Serve where you are. Serve where God has placed you. This may be a time of preparation. It may be a time of conditioning, you know, get your strength up. This may be a time of education for you. And I understand that it can be frustrating. And I understand that sometimes it can be humiliating and it can be hard. But do not despise small beginnings, says the Lord. But rejoice knowing that God has begun a work in you. Understand that God has begun a work in you, and if he starts a work, he is faithful and just to complete that which he has started. Understand that your time is not up. Do not quit. Do not give in. Understand that God declares that you shall live and not die, and you shall declare the works of the Lord to this generation. Understand that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter how tall or how short you are, Mary Catherine. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. Understand that God has a plan for you. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't even matter what your shoe size is. Understand that if there is a breath in your body, there is a purpose in your body. Understand that if you woke up in this morning, God has a reason for your being. I've come to encourage you this morning. There is a purpose in you. This is not the time to sit back and watch and wait, but I am declaring that God is going to speak to us. God is going to speak to you and give you something to live for. I am declaring that you're going to daydream like never before. I'm declaring that you're going to hear from God like never before. God is going to give you visions and ideas that will blow your mind. He's going to give you visions and ideas that will blow your mind. You're going to think there's no way that I can do it, but that's a good thing because we stand beside the one who is able to complete the task at hand. Amen? Amen. Sometimes I get ideas that may or may not stick, you know. I get ideas, you know, that I feel really passionate about for maybe an hour or two. And if I'm super bored, it might last for a week or two. But there are some ideas and there are some thoughts that I just cannot shake off, you know. There are some things that I just can't stay still until I begin to work on it. I can't start it if I know I'm not going to finish it. There are some ideas that God gives me that I have to put into action, right? God gave me clear ideas and visions that I just could not shake off that got me to where I am today. You know, standing up here yelling at you, sweating. And more recently, God has given me ideas that seem way too far-fetched. But God told me, he said, I got you to where you are now, so let me get you to where I would have you go. Amen. There is a process, right? It's a process. And understand that there is a dream in you. Going to Genesis chapter 37, that's where the meat of the message is going to be. There's a dream in you. We're going to talk about Joseph this morning. I can't go through each and every step of his life, but I'm going to give you a broad perspective, all right? Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 3. So Genesis 37, verse 3, it starts saying, now Israel, who is Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated Joseph and could not speak to him peacefully. It's a bad day for Joseph. So issue number one for Joseph is that his brothers were jealous of him, and their jealousy turned into hatred towards him. Issue number two for Joseph is that they were all older than him, and there were 11 of them and only one of him, and he had to go home to that mess every day, all right? He had to go home knowing that he was hated. Knowing that he was hated on. Have you ever been hated on, you know? Have you ever been hated on? Now let me ask you this. Have you ever hated on somebody? Huh? Have you ever been jealous of someone else? Yeah, oh, y'all are honest today. I was thinking y'all were going to be quiet right there. But have you ever hated on somebody or has somebody ever hated on you? I want to hit all points today, you know? Joseph was hated on, and going back to verse number 5, now Joseph had a dream. This is where it gets good. He had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. There are some times that we have dreams and passions within us that are so intriguing, and we get so excited about them and so passionate about them that we feel like we have to share it with somebody. We feel like we just need to tell somebody about the dream and the aspirations and the visions that we have for our life. I understand and I have goals and visions and dreams that I feel strongly about and that I feel like I need to share. But have you ever had a dream that you shared and it got rejected? Have you ever had a dream or had a vision for your life? Am I good? Oh, wow. Great. Have you ever had a vision or a dream for your life that you feel like you just need to share? And have you ever shared that vision and that dream with someone and it got rejected? Even got laughed at or scorned or mocked? Have you ever been shot down? Yeah. The Bible tells us that they hated him because of his dream. They hated Joseph. They didn't not like him. They didn't feel some type of way about him. They straight up hated Joseph because of his dream. Genesis 37, verse 9, going back to the story. Then our dear friend Joseph dreamed another dream. And he told his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moons, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told this to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and all of your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Now, I'm in seminary school right now, and one of the things they tell us when we're trying to, you know, dig into scriptures, they tell us, you know, don't read into it, you know, don't add to it. I'm not going to add to it today, but I am going to put myself in the situation. So I'm going to start being the dreamer. If I'm Joseph, and I tell them my first dream, and they reject my first dream, when I have that second dream, I'm going to take my journal, write it down, and keep it to myself. Okay? That's just me personally, if I were Joseph. Now, if I were one of his older brothers, and he told me the first dream, I'd be nice about it. I'd say, okay, whatever. Good for you. But look at this language that Joseph uses. You know, I'm going to read into it. Look at this language. He says, the second time around, he says, "Behold." Everybody stop what you're doing. "Behold, I have dreamt another dream." Now, if I'm one of his older brothers, I'm going to say, "Behold, sit your tail down." Sister, you know how we talk, you know, down in Mobile, you know, right? When we're at the dinner table having good conversation, and somebody, you know, like my younger sister would say, "Behold, I have good news." I'm saying, yeah, whatever. Joseph comes up in there, and to me, his language kind of sounds like he has a little bit of a younger brother spoiled chip on his shoulder, and he just wants to show out a little bit. That's just my opinion. So if I were one of his older brothers, I'd be drinking a little bit of Haterade too, you know? He comes up to them as they're having family time, and he says, "Behold, I have dreamt another dream." So at this point, I lose just a little bit of sympathy towards Joseph, all right? I know this isn't how preachers usually preach their story, but I'm going to preach it from, you know, feel like I'm in there, in the story. You feel me? You know, so Joseph, they're talking about his dream. So this is where I lose sympathy towards Joseph, because after they hated on me for the first dream and mocked me for the first dream, I would be okay the second time just keeping it to myself, kind of like Mary did. Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? The Bible says in Luke 2:19, it says that after the angel told Mary that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, after the angel told her all of these great things, She did not go out her door and say, "Behold, I am the chosen one, the mother of God." She didn't go there. What does the Bible say that she said? She said, after the angel told her all these great things in Luke 2:19, she did not go and tell everyone what the angel said. She didn't go on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and post a selfie, talk about pregnant by the Holy Ghost. But this is what, I'm just helping some of y'all out today. You know, some of us, if our dog sleeps in a cute position, we have to let the whole world know, okay? So Mary here is hearing from God. Mary is hearing from God, and she doesn't go and tell everybody, but the Bible says that she treasured up these things in her heart and pondered on them. Can I just speak some wisdom to you? There are some things concerning your life and your destiny that is okay to keep between you and God. It's okay to keep some things between you and God. It's okay to ponder upon them and plan and pray about the things that God has shown you for your life. You don't have to tell everybody everything. And know that God will show you the right people to share your vision with. But perhaps young 17-year-old Joseph, he was just naive, maybe. You know, I'll lighten up on him. Maybe he was just naive and thinking that he could impress his brothers and gain his family support. He thought maybe he could gain their support if he just opened up to them by telling them his dream. But how disappointing and how discouraging is it when you tell the closest people to you your dreams and aspirations and they put them down? What do you do when people tell you that it's impossible? What do you do when people tell you no? What do you do when people tell you that you're not qualified and you're not good enough and it ain't gonna happen? What do you do when the people that you believe in do not believe in you? Open up your eyes and understand that not everyone can see what you see. Not everyone can feel what you feel. Understand that God is not showing everyone the same thing that he is showing you. So don't walk into a situation ignorantly thinking that just because you speak it, that everyone is going to believe it. Don't think that just because you start it, that everyone is going to support it. But walk into the situation knowing that if God be for you, then who can be against you? Walk into the situation knowing that there is one standing beside you who is greater and stronger than all others. Understand that if God builds you up, then no one can tear you down. Satan would have you think that you need the support from others around you. Satan would trick you and have you think that what you need is a larger fan base or a larger circle of influence. Satan would trick you and have you believe that what you need to make your dream and vision happen is more money. But understand that the devil is a liar. Understand that the devil is a liar and a deceiver. And the only thing that you need is a word from God. The only thing that you need is a word from God. And you take that word and you apply that word. And understand when you apply that word, your situation will shift and it will turn and work in your favor. Give God some praise today if you believe it. Understand that God can make your dreams a reality, but it won't happen overnight. Israel, who is Jacob, the father of Joseph, told Joseph to go out and check on his brothers one day as they were pasturing his flock. So Joseph went to go and check on them, and he did not find them where he sought after them. But a man notified Joseph and said to him, "Your brothers have went to Dothan." And not Dothan, Alabama. But he told Joseph, "Your brothers have went down to Dothan." So Joseph went to Dothan, and there he found his brothers. So Genesis 37, verse 18, picking back up on the story. They saw Joseph coming from afar, And before he came to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Talk about some haters. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. They said, here comes this dreamer. What is that people say about you when they see you coming? Do they care? Do they care? Do they say, here comes this dreamer? Do they say, here comes this person full of passion? Here comes this person full of vision? Here comes this person who wants to change the atmosphere? Or do they even look twice? They said, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him, throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Touch your neighbor, tell him it's a dirty, dirty world out there. Oh, it's a dirty, dirty world. And the devil is out seeking to steal, kill, and destroy that which God has for you. The question I have for you is, are you a dreamer or are you a hater? Are you dreaming dreams or are you trying to kill the dream? Are you looking forward with the vision or are you trying to shoot the vision down? Are you trying to change the atmosphere or are you trying to stick with what you know? Are you a dreamer or are you a hater? So much hatred was built in the brother's heart that they wanted to destroy him. They were out doing their job, and Joseph comes full of vision and full of dreams, and they want to shut him down. Understand that the devil wants to shut you down too. He does not want you dreaming. The devil does not want you aspiring to be more than what you are. He does not want you moving forward into the destiny that God has for you. Are you a dreamer or are you one of those stagnant haters wanting to shut the dream down? Touch your neighbor, tell him, be a dreamer. Tell him, don't be a hater. They wasted their time conspiring to shut the dream down instead of focusing on their task at hand and seeing what it is that God had for their own lives. The older brothers conspired to kill Joseph and to cover it up with a lie. Yeah. Moving on to verse 21. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him in this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him. And his plan was that he may rescue him out of their hands and restore him to his father. I pray that God would send a Reuben in my life, you know? I pray that God would send a Reuben in your life. I'm not ignorant enough to think that everybody is for me and that somewhere along the way in life, I won't run into someone who will try to shut the dream down, who will try to shut my vision down. But I pray that God would at least send me a Reuben in my corner. He may not have the best idea in the world, but he's going to look after you. I pray that God would send a Reuben in your corner, that when unethical things are taking place and when people are conspiring against you, they would stand up and they would say, no, not today. I pray that we would be a Reuben for someone else. I pray that when God gives someone a dream and there are haters and there are enemies trying to bring down the innocent, when there's people conspiring against the innocent, I vow to be a Reuben and stand up for what is right. To stand up and be bold enough to say no. Verse 23, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water there. The enemy wants to bring you down and strip everything away that belongs to you. The enemy, if he cannot kill you, he at least wants to throw you in a pit. He at least wants to take away whatever resources you have. The enemy wants to rid you of any positive relationships that you have. He wants to make sure that nothing can be poured into you, and he wants to make sure that you can't pour anything out. The enemy wants to shut you down. And if he can't physically kill you, then he'll try to mentally kill you. He'll try to kill you spiritually. Satan wants to put you in a pit. Putting myself in the story, I wonder if Joseph was thinking about his dream while he was in that pit. Or do you think he was thinking about his demise? Was he thinking about his dream, or was he thinking about his near end? But God had a plan. Say, but God. But God had a plan. And even though it doesn't seem ideal to me, even though it doesn't seem ideal, God got Joseph out of the pit. Verse 25, it says, then they sat down to eat. Some haters. They sat down to eat. Looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. Truth of the matter is that Jesus straight up tells us that in this world we will have suffering. It is inevitable. There will be dark times that seem unfair. And from time to time, your reality will challenge your destiny. From time to time, your reality will challenge your dream. Your reality will challenge your vision, and it will even challenge your faith in God. I'm not saying this to be a pessimist, but I'm letting you know that bad things do happen, and it is your choice on how you will react to them. It's your choice on how you react. Issue is that Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt to a powerful man named Potiphar. Potiphar, over time, favored Joseph and made him his personal attendant, placing him in charge of all of his household. But understand that over time, Joseph still ran into trouble on the job when his boss's wife tried to seduce him and he denied her, but she falsely claimed that he assaulted her, and this lie ended Joseph up in prison. Insult to injury, from bad to worse, Joseph is uncertain about his future. He's lost his history, and he's trying to serve faithfully where he is. But once again, he's messed over, and he loses his position, and he is placed in prison. This dreamer is now living a nightmare. Have you ever felt like you're living a nightmare? This dreamer is now living a nightmare. It's awful when things go wrong, but when they get better, and then they get worse than they were before, that puts you on an emotional roller coaster, does it not? Hope deferred does make the heart sick. This, to me, would be an okay time to cry and just say that I can't catch a break. If it was Charlie in the story, you'd find him balled up in his prison cell, crying and saying life is simply unfair. It's one thing to own your own mistakes and to say that I messed up and it's all my fault. But it's a whole nother thing when you're lied on and you're trying to do right and you're trying to do what it is that God has called you to do, but you still find yourself in the pit. You still find yourself in the prison. It's one thing to own your mistakes, and then it's another thing to go down for somebody else's hatred and foolishness. Joseph is thrown into prison, but while in jail, Joseph gained the friendship of the chief jailer, who eventually placed Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." Do not be surprised, there will be trials in this life. Do not be surprised, there will be dark times in this life. But blessed is the man who can remain faithful. Blessed is the man or woman who can remain steadfast. Blessed is the man or woman who can serve faithfully in the pit, who can serve faithfully in the palace, who can serve faithfully at home, and who can serve faithfully when everybody else is hating on them. Blessed is the man who can be faithful. I almost felt like preaching. While in jail, Joseph meets two men, Pharaoh's former butler and baker. One night in jail, both of these men had strange, disturbing dreams. So when they went to Joseph, who possessed the ability to interpret dreams. So they went to Joseph, and Joseph told the butler what his dream meant. He told him that he would be released from prison and return to his previous position. Only 3 days later, the interpretation came true, and the butler left. Joseph asked the butler as he left, he asked him, "Put in a good word for me to Pharaoh." He said, "At least put in a good word for me. I helped you out if you would help me out." But the butler leaves, gets restored to his position, and he forgets about Joseph. He forgets about Joseph. If I put myself back in the story, that's when I start hating again. That's when I get mad again and say, "Forget that butler. I hope he gets back in jail. So when he comes back to jail, he can be my cellmate and I can whoop him." Just kidding. I'm not that hateful. Just kidding. But it's bad for Joseph, right? This is bad for Joseph. He's bullied. He's sold into captivity. He's lied on, and he's in jail for no reason. And now, insult to injury, he is forgotten. He's forgotten. Have you ever felt forgotten? Through trials and dark times, you can become a prisoner in your own mind and begin to say that this is how it's always going to be. Years pass by, and in my life, I wonder if the dream will ever come to pass. I wonder if God will do what he said that he would do. That butler did not think about Joseph until 2 years later. Two whole years passed by. And the Pharaoh, who the butler was working for, was experiencing troubling dreams that his magicians could not interpret. But the butler finally remembered Joseph and told Pharaoh about him. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. 13 years passed by since he had been sold into slavery, and his dream was looking far-fetched and dead. But here is where skill meets opportunity. However, when Joseph went to Pharaoh and listened to his dream and told the ruler what the dream predicted, he told him that there would be 7 years of feast, and it would be followed by 7 years of famine. In addition to the interpretation, Joseph was smart enough to give the Pharaoh advice on how to prepare and survive the famine. So Joseph was pardoned and favored by Pharaoh, and Joseph became the wise man of Israel, of Egypt, who would plan for the famine. He was placed in charge of gathering and storing grain for the upcoming famine, and his duties took him to all the cities throughout Egypt. Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. For his new position, Joseph received a ring, a gold necklace, and fine clothes. Perhaps at this point, Joseph remembered his dream and declared the faithfulness of God. Understand that no matter your circumstance, no matter your location, if God favors you, he favors you. Understand that no matter what it is that you're going through in life, understand no matter what situation you find yourself in, if God has given you a promise, then understand that God is not a man and he cannot lie, and he will fulfill that which he has promised you. As Joseph has interpreted, the famine came to pass, and Egypt was prepared. The famine struck, and it was widespread, and Egypt was the only country that had food. The famine was so widespread that Canaan, the place from which Joseph was raised and he was from, was affected by the famine. Jacob, who is Joseph's father, sent his brothers to Egypt to buy food. When they got to Egypt, Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. They bowed before him as Joseph saw in his dream years ago. Joseph tested them and gave them the biggest runaround in history. Before he was overcome with emotion, and once again, when they came back, they bowed before him as he dreamt that they would. But Joseph finally revealed himself to them, and they were speechless. Joseph showed them grace and mercy, and he was reunited with his family, and he provided for them. And his response to them was what man meant for evil, God has used it for my good. That's a good place to give God a hand clap of praise. That what you meant for evil, God has turned it around and used it for my good. What I've come to really declare to you is that dreams do come true. What I've come to encourage you with is that dreams do come true. Do not be afraid to dream. Do not be afraid to be optimistic. Do not be afraid to look forward, for dreams do come true. If God says it, then that settles it. If God has determined your destiny, then it is what it is. What people may mean for evil against you, God is going to take it, and he's going to turn it around, and somehow, some way or another, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to work it out for your good. I've come to declare to you that dreams do come true. There will be tough hell to walk through, but do not walk through the fire alone. How will you react to the trials in life? Will you give up, or will you continue to serve faithfully where you are until God takes you to another level? I love Peter's response in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says, behold, do not be surprised at fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. He's being straight up with you. He's telling you that this faith walk is not a cakewalk. He's telling you that there will be hell and high water to walk through. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but we are not destroyed. I want to tell you that you are stronger than you think you are. I want to tell you that there is a strength in you from the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 43, verse 2, I told you, it says, when you pass through the waters, the Lord says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overcome you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flames shall not consume you. God's hedge of protection is on you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Bad things do happen to good people, but the Lord will deliver you from them all. Jesus declared, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile against you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. But rejoice and be glad in it, for your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I do have a dream, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice in it. Every day, God is giving me an opportunity to reach the destiny that He has for me. I will not loathe the day, but I will rejoice in every day because God made it and He's making a way for me to reach the destiny that He has for me. Go ahead and stand up this morning, church. Give God a hand clap of praise. Go ahead. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we make up our mind and we choose to rejoice in it, because what God says, He will complete. He says, "Do not be discouraged by small beginnings, but rejoice, for God rejoices just to see the work begin." Understand that God has begun a good work within you, and you can stand on that word, and you can trust that He will finish that which He starts. Go ahead, touch three people and tell them, "Get ready, get ready, get ready, because God is working it out for your good. He's working it out for your good. He's working it out." Yes. Bless you. The Lord. if you're here this morning and you know that God has a destiny and a plan for your life, I want to just invite you this morning to come down to the altar. And we can just speak over you and pray over you this morning. If you have a destiny, if you have a dream that you know that God has given you, but you feel like everything is working out against you, step on down to this altar.